listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Listen also to the first verse of Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the last part of the last verse of the psalm, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Reading today from Colossians chapter 1. We have here before us a perfect word from God through Paul to the church at Colossae. And let's pray that it be for us as well, that what Paul says here to them may be true for the church today. Beginning to read at verse 3 of this first chapter, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit as it does also in you, since ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. When I read this, I think of the words that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This truly is a picture of heavenly places, literally heaven on earth. Let's pray that God will give this to us today, that the church will be revived after we have moved away from the gospel, which Paul said, be not moved away from it. Here's a church that truly is an example to us, one of which it can be sung, as we did, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Paul spoke of their love in the Spirit and their love to all the saints. Let's pray that we might have it as they did. This came from God to them, and it can come from God to us. Our Father, we give thanks for what is written here. We give thanks for that new and living way in Christ. We give thanks that it was made known there in that wonderful way in Colossae, through the preaching of the Word, through, as we saw some time ago, the sower going forth to sow. And here we see the seed, which is Thy Word, falling on good ground. And we pray, Father, that we also may have both the Word preached to us and the Spirit working in us to make us good ground, to take the hearts which by nature are hard, closed, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, unbelieving, that Thou wilt open them, Father, that Thou wilt change them, that Thou wilt give us new hearts, that Thou wilt revive those that are in the church that have been changed, but may have grown lukewarm, sadly, proud, foolishly. And we pray, Father, for the reviving that can be given, as it was given in Corinth, as it was given in history. We think of the Great Awakening, the time of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. They're preaching, and thy blessing it, to the saving of souls, to the reviving of the church. And we pray for that to be given again. We think of the promises given for the house of Judah and the house of Israel, that thou wilt pour upon them the spirit of grace and supplication, that thou wilt write on them, write on their hearts thy law, and will remember their iniquities no more, that they might have the forgiveness of sins, knowing the need of it and taking those sins being taken away by faith. We pray, Father, that these things written may soon be given in this day of declension, this day of falling away, this day of darkness, this day when this church has in so many ways become assaulted, have lost its savor. We pray that thou wilt chasten us and rebuke us, that we will repent, and that we will be revived, and that we will be then strengthened and used for thy glory. We also give thanks, Father, for the blessings in nature, blessings of health for those of us who have it. We pray for those who do not have these blessings in sickness and injury, for healing, for grace to bear under it, for those that must live with it, for those that will soon meet the end death, that they might be prepared through the gospel of Christ. We pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for our schools, the workplace, our government, our leaders. We pray, Father, that thou would work in their hearts that they might be saved, that we might then live a quiet and peaceable life. We give thanks to the measure that we have it, and we pray for those nations that do not have it, where wars rage terribly and awfully. We pray for the people there in suffering, in sorrow, in fear. We pray, Father, that peace on earth might come through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. We have read here, seemingly, sometimes a rather long portion, but it's perfect. Perfect. Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Give thanks to God. How many are unthankful? How many do not recognize who they are praying to? God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father through Christ. Also, we must know that Christ is the Son of God, as we tried to emphasize last week and as we see it throughout Scripture. We need to know that by faith. We need to know that in doctrine. If we do not know it, we need to know it in reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, because Christ alone is the way of righteousness. And we see that here, this wonderful Scripture, these wonderful blessings have been paid for by blood. We read twice about that. Verse 14, speaking of God's dear Son, in the 13th verse. For anyone that doesn't believe that, many Jews don't believe that. Many Gentiles, many Islamic people do not believe that the Lord Jesus is God's dear Son, the Son of God, one with Him. And it is that Son through whom, as verse 14 says, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Our greatest need paid for by that greatest person who has been given a name which is above every name. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, took on the form of a man, went to the death of the cross. There he shed his blood on that cursed place. And then again later, we read verse 20, and hath made peace through the blood of his cross. This is what God is doing with us, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but particularly through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Reconcile. Reconcile. Things need to be made right between you and I and God. Many religions teach that we just do things and God will accept it. Then there's just doing. But here is reconciliation. We are out of place. There's a gulf between us and God. There's reconciliation needed. And God does it through the blood of the cross. The next verse says, you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And then again that word, yet now hath He reconciled. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, God is in the world, reconciling the world unto Himself through Christ. He's putting us through the door of Christ to Himself. We're on the outside. Not only on the outside, we're going the wrong way. Enemies in our mind. In darkness, as we read earlier, verse 13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Along with this description, as we described it earlier, of those heavenly places. Each one of us had our beginning in awful places, wicked places, hellish places. Places that deserve hell. Places that are exactly on par with hell. God won't be unfair to any that go to hell. They will be punished as we deserve if we go there. If it were not for this blood of Christ, I would go there deservingly. And hell and my sin would be exactly alike. That's where God takes us from. And it's a darkness in more than one way. It's the darkness of the Prince of Darkness. We listen to His lies. We don't believe it. It's much the same as Paul describes in another letter, dead in sin. We're in darkness. And the sad thing is, as Christ said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when He gave those wonderful words about God loving the world and giving His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. After that He said, men love darkness rather than light. And then, even stronger language, that we hate the light. And it's proven. Christ was hated. They hated Me without a cause. We hated Him for the words that He spoke. Isaiah said He's despised and rejected of men. But here, these people, like the sower, sowing the seed, and finding here good ground. When we read of the sower in the Gospel of Luke, we read the sower went forth to sow the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. A word from heaven. All other teachings, all other religions are of men. This is from God. This came from God to Paul. He said, I received it not of men. He said, God revealed His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. And He preached Him among the Jews as well, for those who would hear, the few. Often short times, and then they would go away. But here, these people had that word sown, and they heard. We read in verse 4, since we heard of your faith They heard it. Paul heard of it. But a little further we read, verse 5, the last part of it, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Paul is speaking of that which is laid up in heaven for them. And he says, you heard of it in the word of the truth of the gospel. We can go to heaven because Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that alone. They heard. They learned. They believed. And then they obeyed. Verse 6, the gospel was come to them as it was in the rest of the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, from that first day till now. Fruit was there. They heard, they believed, and obeyed. This is what is needed today. Yes, it's needed. Sadly, we can't say it's there, like Paul could say of this church. It's not there before the rest of our nation. It's not there affecting our homes, broken homes in the church, as much as in the rest of the nation. We'll go on as if it's all right. We get somewhat excited about people wanting to have other kind of marriages than a man and woman, but half of those who married didn't want to continue. They didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want to listen to Christ when he said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And it's not just some people. The church is guilty with the people. That's not fruit. That's not love. Love in the Spirit. And that fact is there as a thermometer telling us what the temperature is. We've had rather cold weather, colder nights than usual. We can watch the thermometer. Some of the nights it went down into the 50s. We could tell exactly how cold it was by that thermometer. We can tell how cold the church is by the thermometer of marriages and the brokenness of it. That number tells us it's terrible, awful. Do you realize it? Here brought forth fruit. The fruit was declared your love in the Spirit. Part of what we read here is concerning prayer. Over and over, he refers to that. He refers to many things, many times, as we said, twice to the blood. Number of times to the hearing. Then we can also read, as we did in the first verse that we read, since we heard your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, he said, we give thanks to God for that, the Father, praying always for you. He was giving thanks for what was there. He was praying for what was needed. We can see that a little more further on. Verse 9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then those words especially that I referred to a little while ago, describing heavenly places, you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's what God gives when he reconciles a sinner to himself. He brings us to what we should have always have been, but we weren't. And because we weren't, we had to be reconciled. We had to be brought to repentance, knowing we were wrong before God, wrong in sinful ways, wrong in self-righteousness, rather than in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wrong, 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 so wrong. that for everyone in the church, everyone that will go to heaven, Christ had to shed his blood. Christ had to go to the cross. Christ had to be forsaken of God. Everyone. Everyone. This lukewarm way of, I've always went to church, or I'm a church member, I've always loved the Lord, that's not what Paul is talking about here. There was much of that in Judaism. They going about to establish their own righteousness, and there's much of that in the church. I know, I was there. I was there myself, as I mentioned before, and I'm afraid other people were there with me. And when we know our sin, when we know our enmity, when we know that suddenly we wake up in darkness, delivered us from the power of darkness, telling us, as Paul did here, this again reminding them. He's telling them of their sinful past, and he's telling them not to move away from the gospel. Those two things must continue in our mind, in our heart, to truly be humble before God, to be humble before others as well. That we also are sinners. Some are saved sinners. The rest are lost sinners. But all sinners. Paul calling himself, writing to Timothy, the chief of sinners. Speaking of it in the present time, not just of the past. And here, Paul says, you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. God reconciled. And we must know that. Some people just say, I gave my heart to Christ, or accepted Christ. You are guilty before God. You are guilty in God's presence. He is the God that you have sinned against. He is the judge, and he must pardon you. He must reconcile you and give you a pardon through faith. It is God that does the reconciling through faith. Listen, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then back again to the word in verse 20, and hath made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Yes, God does it by grace.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.